o'clock.
Here we go.
Because the run home just got a little bumpier. Rush, rush, rush.
You cannot be serious.
I've got to see you every friggin' week.
There's got to be an investigation into this.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour with MG.
Yes, it's a team list Tuesday for round three. MG, of course, you won't hear the team changes here in this podcast. But make sure you're subscribed. You've got the listener app. You download it because the team list will be dropping just after 4 o'clock. Don't forget you can join us live on our Instagram at Rush Hour Triple M after 4 o'clock to as we break them down live.
Yeah, and I think the listener app is a fantastic little thing to get all our stuff. We do extras every day. We do some stuff. We do this. We do that. And if you don't listen, if you don't download the app, you can't get it. So go get the listener, L-I-S-T-N-R.
We're like that not very talented kid who's just doing the extras because he wants a crack at first grade, or he or she wants a crack at first grade. Doing all the extras, MG. That's what we're about. Look, that is going to come out just after 4 o'clock, but they obviously wait and see on Nathan Cleary, whether he's cleared to play for the Panthers or not. And if they choose to give Ryan Madison, of course, he can't play, surely.
No, he won't.
He can't play.
No, he was KO'd.
They cannot afford to risk him. All that coming up in Team List. Don't miss it. But we're starting today with this.
Triple M rocks the footy. And this is the burning question.
They're happy down south at the moment, MG. The St. George Illawarra Dragons. Terrific road win against the North Queensland Cowboys over the weekend. The return of Corey Norman into the halves. But the burning question, has Anthony Griffin finally unlocked Ben Hunt's potential?
Well, you know what? Based on the game against the Cowboys, absolutely. Absolutely. That was vintage Ben Hunt. That was him at his best. And look, we've all had our thoughts and we've all had our say on exactly what's gone on with the Dragons over the offseason. They've months and months of negative headlines, McInnes's injury and basically saying that he's free to go, and all the fans were filthy, and then their first week against the Sharkies, well, the barbs were out after 1 week. Hook was the was the catch cry. But look, Anthony Griffin, let me tell you this, is a really good manager of men. He has got an uncanny way of being a bit of a soothsayer. He just knows what to say, when to say it. And look, we all said, you know, what's Andrew McCulloch? Come on, man. He's just come off a hamstring. He's got old legs. And look, let me preface this by saying they played the Cowboys, who aren't offering much up, but they had to go up there and do it. Ben Hunt was everywhere. Ben Hunt was everywhere in their victory over them last Saturday night. And he proved, look, I think the captaincy, Liam, I think the captaincy that Hook Griffin gave to Ben Hunt is just a big badge of honour for him. And he says, I think at the age of 31, or I think he's 31, that this is my time. This is my time to show people exactly what I'm made of. And he reminds me of a player, Ben Hunt, that if he's got the coach's full backing, he'll jump over fiery pits for you. If he thinks there's one bit of doubt, one iota of doubt, i.e. Paul McGregor putting him at hooker, and I think he's a good hooker, but that didn't suit Ben Hunt. He wanted to know. He wanted the halfback. He wanted to have his team. And the fact that got eroded from his psyche, we saw the performance drop from Ben Hunt. Now that he's captain, he's controlling the team. He's got to lead and do as I do and as I say. I think it's just been a masterstroke from Griffin.
And you obviously, teams can't afford to accommodate every player in that sense. They can't. No coach can give every player the captaincy and play them in the exact position they want because it's just
You'd have 13 5/8s.
No, you'd have.
Oh, Griff, I want to go for. Do you get Paul Bontain, mate? Can I play 5/8s?
Where's the biggest paycheck? Oh yeah, I want to play fullback as well, please.
Yeah.
No, but Ben Hunt with the salary he's on. The Dragons, and he's contracted for this year, next year, and he's got a player option for 2023.
Yeah.
The Dragons simply can't afford to not find a way to make him work. Griffin was the last coach to get the best out of him up at the Broncos, and it's everything you said, MG. It seems to have just Hook's arrived. Ben Hunt's felt the warmth. He's got the right number on his back. He's got the C next to his name. Cam McInnes, as disastrous the injury is for him personally, might have been the greatest thing for Ben Hunt's career.
Never a truer word spoken.
Anyway.
And we all had our barbs. We did. We said, let me first wrap the forwards who are making it easier for Ben Hunt to play, like last weekend. Paul Vaughan's back to his vintage best, knocking on the door of origin again. Daniel Alvaro, man, what a game he played against the Cowboys. And you got big Josh Kerr, Tarek Sims back to good form. Fui Moano is fantastic. So they've got a team. Corey Norman, I think he was the electricity they needed.
Yep.
But I think Ben Hunt likes having him at number six. He gets confidence out of having Corey Norman alongside him running out, and then he knows that when he looks to the left or right, he's got a bloke there who can play completely different to he does.
Yep.
And he likes that, I think. I think Clune's a bit too much like him, so they kind of clash as far as their temperaments go and the way they play. But I think with Corey Norman, you've got this guy who just plays off the cuff, and that really suits Ben Hunt.
You've got a similar dynamic to what Panthers have got going with Luai and Cleary. 100%. You've got your game manager, and then you've got your dynamite player on the other side. Hey, look, we're all looking forward to Panthers Storm on Thursday night. That is the round opener, and it's a grand final rematch, so we know that's going to be a cracker. But this game Friday night, when the Dragons take on the Seagulls, it's almost as interesting a watch as the grand final rematch for what the Dragons delivered and for the position that the Seagulls find themselves in.
Oh, of course it is. Of course it is. You know, we all like watching those teams and players struggling to find just how they're going to get out of that mojo, find their mojo, how they're going to get out of the, you know, out of the doldrums. And I think this is going to be a perfect opportunity for both Manly and the Dragons to cement themselves.
Well, you said, MG, that you thought Ben Hunt was 31 years old. He turns 31 on Saturday. So he's hoping for his sake and for Dragon supporters that he wakes up a very happy boy on his birthday. Happy birthday, Ben, in advance. We appreciate your time when you do come on this show. Dragons, Seagulls, Friday night. You can hear that game right here on Triple M. MG thinks Hook has unlocked Ben Hunt's potential. We can't wait to see it on Friday night. Speaking of halfbacks, MG, Ben Hunt might be turning 31 on Saturday, but this man turns 300, in a sense, on Sunday. It is, of course, Mitchell Pearce. We welcome him. Mitchell, congratulations on the impending milestone.
Yeah, thanks a lot, boys. It's obviously a proud week. It's not something I set out. The number of games wasn't something I set out to achieve as a kid. I just wanted to achieve other types of goals, I suppose, when you're young, play first grade and try and play rep footy and all the rest of it. But I'm really proud that I suppose I've got to this point and been able to do what I love for so long.
Junior, you started as a 17-year-old buddy back in 2007. Here we are in 2021. Unbelievable feat. You played 239 games for the Roosters and you've played 60 so far for the Knights. Even that's gone quick. you've been in the spotlight since day one. How has this game changed from your debut back in 2007 to 2021? What's been the biggest change in the game since then, do you think?
That's a good question, mate. Obviously, I think when you come in as a halfback at 17, physically it was probably a lot tougher just because you're not as big as everyone else. So it takes a couple of years to really get used to the speed and, sort of find your confidence in first grade. So that's probably the biggest thing that changed over the first few years. And then it's probably a lot more professional. Not that it wasn't professional when I came in, but it's definitely getting a lot more serious and professional in all aspects now than it was even 15 years ago.
Mitch, I read a comment from your dad talking about the fact that it was early on in your high school days when you told him you wanted to be a professional footballer. Do you still have the same love for the game now that you had all the way back then?
Yeah, I definitely do. I still love the game just as much as I ever have, if not more. I think when you get older, you appreciate it more, what you're able to do week in, week out, and how lucky we are to be doing what we love. So, I haven't lost my passion for the game at all.
Well, what happens is, I suppose, and you can vouch for this too, Junior, is that every year someone comes along that kind of freshens you up. And at the moment, you've got Tex Hoy, you've got Bradman Best, oh my goodness. you've got Jaden Brayley, who basically missed all of last season. So all these guys just come in and all of a sudden you go, okay, I've got another second wind here. And at the moment, you're the leader of this young pack you can smell something's cooking.
Yeah, it's always good having the new younger boys coming through. Obviously, like you just spoke about a few of the boys you said, some local juniors there too. So, there's a new challenge every year. And I think that's what I love about footy. And I think the best thing about footy, as you know, is just hanging around like-minded blokes that all love a challenge and push it, and we push each other every day. That's what I love about the game.
It's the one thing I miss is the dressing room, and that's one thing that I think a lot of players who played the game, when they finish, I'll say the same thing, that the dressing room, when you have a shit day, you turn up to the dressing room and there's someone always makes you laugh, and then you go out and you train and you do your ball work, and then all your problems are gone. And then playing the game, well, that's the gift, isn't it? When you play on the weekend, that's all the gift. The playing's the easy part. It's the training and the sacrifice that's the hard part.
Absolutely, yeah. I think for me personally, you probably feel your calmest on game day. Like you just said, it's all the little boxes you've got to tick leading up to the game and everything that goes on before. But everyone that's retired tells me that that's what you miss most. You've been around the boys and the adrenaline that you get from playing, so I'll make the most of it.
Nice bit of serendipity with the game, the milestone game coming against the West Tigers. Your dad, such a famous name there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny how it's worked out because I played my 150th against the Tigers as well. So there might be something in there a bit deeper than I have to try and work out one day.
Someone at the NRL's got a sense of humour, which is nice. Now, I've got to ask quickly, MG just mentioned the name, Bradman Best. After what he did on the weekend, now, have you seen the birth certificate, Mitch? Because there's no way that kid can be 19.
No, yeah, he's an animal. I think there's too many players that are built like that and have the speed and the skills that he's got. There's not many, and the speed. So, yeah, he's one of a kind. Brady, I think he's been the standout all through all the juniors. And he's sort of, you know, he's been born for the game. So, so glad he's in our team. And he got us out of trouble big time the other night. He's done it a few times in his young career already, so love playing with him. Scary man too. Scary.
Oh, isn't he? Well, you've got you've won two games in a row, and without Kalen Ponga, obviously. What do you think O'Brien might do once Kalen comes back? Is there a chance that maybe Tex Hoy might play 5-8 or Phoenix Crossland went there great the other week last weekend? So I suppose it's an embarrassment of riches. Still got Connor Watson who could play 5-8. Kurt Mann will come back. Blake Green. Forgot about him. Well, forgot about Blake Green. Jeez.
Yeah, so. But, you know, to have the boys out, especially in the spine to start the year, you know, that makes those wins even a bit more sweeter.
I reckon O'Brien might play Kalen Ponga when he's available, MG. I reckon that's the first thing he'll probably do. I reckon he'll play him. Just as a rough guess.
Hey, what about Blake Green? That's a good luxury to have, isn't it? Yeah, I forgot about him.
Hey, Mitch, a couple of 300 games, incredible milestone. I'm going to throw some questions at you without notice here. Best player you played with?
Yeah, it's a tough one. I've played with so many great players. The rest of those are probably at his best. One of the best players I played with was Todd Carney when he was at his best in 2010. Yeah. As far as how brilliant he was that year. But obviously, Sonny Bill Williams, as far as natural talent, Kalen Ponga as well is right up there. So, yeah, I've been lucky. Playing the Roosters, there's so many players there that I could say were the best I've played with.
What about favourite teammate? Regardless of skill, just favourite teammate.
I'd say Boyd Cordner.
How good is he?
He's one of my favourite players I've played with and a great mate. So, and just... Ruthless player, just so tough. He's my favourite player.
Have you spoken to Boyd with everything he's going through with the concussion stuff off the field? How's he travelling?
Yeah, we haven't touched too much on that, but always try and check in. And yeah, like I said, he's a great mate of mine, and hopefully his head pulls through. I'd hate to be a back row and play like he does. It looks so painful.
It's a lot harder to get to 300 games when you play like he does.
Yeah, well, mate, you should be very, very proud. I think your parents will be up there to watch you on Sunday. It's a fantastic milestone. One that, as Liam said at the start of this chat, only 40 people have had the chance to do it in 115 years of footy. And on Sunday, you'll be running out and you'll be doing it, brother. Well done. Congratulations on a fantastic career. And let it go for longer than you might catch that black called Smith for 400 and something.
Yeah. Going as long as I can. I appreciate it, boys. Thank you.
MG, Mitchell Pearce has obviously got a very storied history with the State of Origin scene. We are 9 weeks away from the likely date that the teams will be named for both New South Wales and Queensland for game one, 9th of June. Mm-hmm. That will fly by, which is why you've been inspired to do this. It's MG's way too early State of Origin side.
That's right, Liam. Only 9 weeks to go. And look, as it stands at the moment, Freddie and Brandy and their team, they meet each week and they give each other their origin teams. Well, I thought I'd be a little bit different to them and do every second week. So every fortnight, we'll revisit this team. And let me stress that this team is based solely on performance of the last. So I've only got 2 weeks to go on. I'm not going on reputations. I'm going purely on performance. So there's a couple of guys in here, people go, what? In the State of Origin, look, this player probably won't be in the State of Origin team, but I think they need recognition from what they've been doing.
So they're blank names, blank faces. It's only about what their output on the field.
The last 2 weeks.
All right.
Fullback. I think it speaks for itself. He speaks for himself. James Tedesco. Mm. He's been in scintillating form, and
no arguments.
I think he needs a little bit of a prod that he got when's from that Thursday night game when Pappenhausen started out of the block so quick, and he said, "Aha, here we go. I love a challenge." And look what he's done.
Yeah.
So he's obviously the fullback. The wingers, well, B Moz would be on one wing, but he's retired from rep footy, so I didn't even consider him.
Yep.
I've got Tupu and Josh Adokar on the wings.
Incumbents, right?
Centres, Bradman Best.
Oh, the 19-year-old.
And Latrell Mitchell.
Oh, Latrell's back in the frame.
Latrell's a centre, learning to play fullback. So he goes straight into a centre spot for mine.
So now that is the incumbents, obviously, for the New South Wales side for last year's series were Clint Gutherson and Jack White, not two traditional centres and certainly not playing there for their clubs. But neither of them making the squad at the moment. All right, L. Mitchell and B. Best.
In the halves, two guys who have just started the season perfectly. Luke Keary at number 6 and Nathan Cleary at number 7.
So the game one pairing that Freddie picked for last year in Adelaide, and then we didn't see Keary again. He was replaced by Cody Walker.
Yep.
All right.
Yep. Up front, the big boppers, Daniel Saifidi and Junior Paulo. And the hooker will be Damien Cook.
Again, similar to, I mean, they were all a part of the setup over the three games. So similar
front row. They've started the perfect way Freddie would love, especially Luke Keary, Clemmer. Someone like Clemmer started fantastically. Mm. Junior Paulo and Saifidi have been standouts for mine.
Okay.
Back row, Tyson Frizzell takes one of the second row spots.
Yes.
The other one, if he does make the Origin team, will be a big, big bolter. Canberra's and Maitland's own Hudson Young.
Really?
Yes. He's had close to two man of the match performances in his two wins, Tigers and Sharks, that the Raiders have had, and he's improved. He's been known for his indiscretions on the field.
Mm.
I think he's put them aside because he started with so much pinpoint precision this year. He's on point. I like
Hudson
the way he's
Young.
Starting.
Wow, incredible.
My lock forward is Isaiah Yeo.
Right, came off the bench in the series, made his debut last year, but gets a starting spot at the moment. What about the bench?
Okay, let's start with number 14. That'll be Ryan Pappenhausen.
We'd finally get to see him in a Blues jumper.
Well,
fantastic.
In this 2 week team, he
does.
No,
I'm locking this in. This is team for game one, as far as I'm concerned.
Also on the bench is Cam Murray, Dave Clemmer.
Clemmer back in the fold.
And another bolter, and can also goal kick, Mitch Barnett.
Wow, from the Knights.
Yeah, he's been on fire. I think he'd be a fantastic utility. Maybe to take that maybe Dale Finucane role if he doesn't, you know, get around for it. But I think Barnett, he's got Origin written
on him. No room for Jerome Luai, I notice. Or Stephen Crichton.
No, not yet.
Because
These are the two games.
The big talking point there is, MG, we've got four teams. What have we got? Four teams? Five teams undefeated at this stage of the season. And it's the Newcastle Knights with the greatest representation. Bradman Best, Dave Clemmer, Daniel Saifidi, and Mitch Barnett. Four spots in that side for Newcastle.
Yeah, well, as I said, based on the last 2 weeks, I think Mitch Barnett has been fantastic. I think Saifidi's been one of the best forwards in the comp thus far, and as has Clemmer. And the rest, yeah, look, Frizzell, obviously, he's been one of the reasons they've won two in a row. He's just added some starch to that pack, and the other players are feeling it. Peter Kelly, I keep mentioning it, he came to Penrith in 1988 and taught us young forwards how to be tough, and not exactly what he'd done on the field all the time, but what he did away from the field. It was really pinpoint with his precision as far as training goes, and we followed him. And I think Frizzell's doing that at Newcastle.
No room for any Manly Seagulls players, which is surprising. All right. Well, there it is, the first instalment of MG's Way Too Early Origin Side.
It's never too early. Never too early to talk Origin, baby, because within 9 weeks, we'll be on it.
MG, we need to talk some AFL.
Yes.
And we do it thanks to our friends at Bingley. Bingley have been bringing you the best brands and best advice since 1957. Head to Bingley.
It's a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. Head to bingley.com.au to grab a deal today. And we bring you now one of the best players at the GWS Giants. They went down in round one, a narrow loss to St Kilda in slippery, wet conditions. But this man, he goes all right, and he had a good first hit out, but he'll be looking for the win this weekend when they head over to Perth to take on the Fremantle Dockers. I speak of Timmy Taranto from the Giants. G'day, Tim.
G'day, boys. How are we going?
Well, fantastic, buddy. Liam mentioned it was a wet and wild nail biter against St Kilda. Going over to the Perth, where it hasn't been raining, they're the only guys who haven't copped it the whole week. Do you like going to Perth to play them?
Yeah, I do. I'm so keen to get out in the sun. It's been raining in Sydney for 3 weeks straight, and my street's flooded, so I'm ready to get some sun.
Tell our listeners, Timmy, something, because you've got a great name, and I'll get to your name a bit later, because I'm going to give you a new nickname before we finish this interview today. Tim Taranto, you'll have a new nickname by the finish of this interview, but tell our listeners maybe three things that we don't know about Tim Taranto.
Gee whiz, you put me on the spot there.
Come on, brother. Dig deep. Well, give us one thing.
Three things. I'm an avid shoe collector, I guess.
Oh, there we go. Ting.
Study business.
Yes. What's your guilty pleasure?
Buying shoes and chocolate, probably.
There we go.
Now, we'll get back to the shoes at some point, I imagine, Tim. And we will talk about footy as well, I promise. But the business degree, now there's a bit of a conglomerate emerging out at the Giants, because you've got Toby Green and Matt DeBoer. And are you in on the investment fund that's popped up at GWS, Tim?
There's a few boys jumping on that. Yeah, I'm doing a little bit with them. I'm just kind of trying to earn my stripes and get in with those older boys. But, yeah, I'm learning a little bit.
Could you imagine that back in your day, MG, the investment funds being sorted out in dressing room sheds?
Oh, we had similar. We had pyramids and all that type of schemes, gold bullion, all that type of stuff that I never cashed in on and always seemed to get my ass burned on them. But
yeah, right. Okay.
These guys these days are a lot smarter and more educated. Absolutely. So, Timmy, your last name is Taranto. When I first saw it today, I've seen it in, you know, clippings in the media and that, and the first thing I think about is Quentin Tarantino from the famous director from Pulp Fiction, Reservoir Dogs. So I think from this day forward, Tim Taranto, you'll be known as Quentin.
That's funny you say that. My first day at the club, someone started calling me Quinton, but it only lasted that day and I haven't been called that since.
Oh, I love it.
Well, how about Big Q? Just the Q.
Big Q.
Maybe just Q, yeah, no big.
Yeah.
I reckon.
Yeah. Oh, now, I like the idea that day one at the club, someone tried to call him Quentin, and even then back when on day one, MG, this is the man who pushes the big weights in the gym. They call him the bull because he is a genuine bull. And Tim, I mean, let's talk about the footy. The loss on the weekend to St Kilda, not how you wanted to start, particularly coming off last season where you missed the finals. But I imagine you and the rest of the playing group and Leon and the coaches saw some positives out of that round one loss.
Yeah, we did. I think it could have gone either way on the weekend. There were some good patches from us and the Saints as well. But I thought our brand stood up pretty well. We played a pretty good brand of footy, but they just came out on top and probably nailed a few more opportunities. So it was really disappointing. But yeah, as you said, there were some positives to come out of it.
Well, that was last week, buddy. This week you got Freo. Who are the danger men for them? They went down last weekend as well, didn't they?
Yeah, I didn't see their game on the weekend, but you know they're obviously a very good team, and you know it's anyone's game over there. It would be good to play on a dry deck, as I said, on the big ground. But yeah, I'm excited to play against some big boys up five from that as well.
You must have been happy with the performance of Matt Flynn making his AFL debut after being on the list for so long. I mean, the social videos that went up during the week when he spoke to his parents. I will never get sick of those debut videos, MG, when the players make the phone call to their parents. They never get boring.
I love it.
But Matty Flynn, I mean, with Shane Mumford at now age 56 and the big the injury to Braden Pruce.
And no more Heater. Heater's gone.
And Heater's gone. But Matty Flynn standing up and delivering what he did, it must have been really pleasing for you and the rest of the midfield group.
Yeah, it was. He's been waiting a long time for his opportunity, and you know probably should have played 2 years ago, but got injured. So he's been on a crazy ride, and he's a good mate of mine. So I was really stoked for him, and yeah, all the boys got around him after a really good game.
Timmy, tell us a bit about the season that you're now in, the off season, and how different it was to being in lockdown last year. It's actually on today, a year ago, that we all got the news that we were going into a lockdown. We didn't know how long it was going to last. We know now that it lasted 9 weeks, but it would have been surreal, mate. Wouldn't it have been in a sporting bubble like in that time? Could have only imagined.
Yeah, it was a really strange environment. Yeah, probably personally wasn't, you know, up for it as well as I should have been. You know, some boys found it difficult more than others, but I think the way they did it was probably the only thing they could have done. But yeah, I definitely prefer the way it is now, and no COVID, so you know you can feel like a person as well as a footy player. So I'm enjoying that aspect of it at the moment. Hopefully it stays like this.
Tim, when will you fly out? When will you hop on the plane to get over to Perth?
Saturday morning, I think.
Okay. And who's the player that the teammate that
who's your roomie?
Who's the A grade bloke to get to sit alongside, and who's the last bloke you want to be? You know, when you check
on
that
a 5-hour
ticket.
Flight. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
My housemate Isaac Cummings, a bit of fun, so I'll give him a little shout out. Hopefully I'm sitting next to him.
Yes.
Awesome. But Big Matt Flynn stinks, so don't really want to be with him.
Actually, well, now let's expand on the plane trip. It is, as MG said, a 5-hour trip. Who are the big dogs? Is it Stephen Cornelio and Josh Kelly and the likes and Toby Green sitting up at the pointy end?
Yeah, they will, but you know, Matt Flynn coming into his second game will be up there, which is a bit weird.
Just based on sheer size.
I don't know. Just based on, you know, being. I don't know. He'll be up there. Maybe Josh Kelly and Toby and those fellas.
This is MG.
I'll take the exit row.
This is a best and fairest winner. This bloke should be treated with more respect when it comes to plane seating.
Timmy's 6'2" and 90 kilos. Like he's got a bit. He's pretty big as an AFL player goes, isn't he? Like it's. He's got to get some, you know, maybe some chest room and elbow him out the way. Say, get out of the way, you AFLs. I'm the young gun on this side. Boot off.
Tell that to our GM, please.
I will, mate. Hey. Have you got a manager? I can be your manager.
Yeah.
Hey, Tim, we appreciate your time. We appreciate you having a bit of fun with us. Now, can you just confirm a rumour for me, please? Tim, as I said, bit of a bull. Got plenty of biceps and calf muscles to work with as far as ink goes.
Yeah.
He's got some tattoos. Tim, can you confirm? Did your teammate Jeremy Finlayson copy one of your tattoos?
Yeah, he did. Oh. My first tattoo was an eagle on my calf, and then I brought that to the club, and then a few weeks later, Jezza had an eagle on his calf too. So it was a bit disappointed in him for doing that, to be honest.
That's a bromance, baby. That is shameless.
That is, I mean, that's they awesome. Say imitation's the most sincere form of flattery. But
yeah, they do.
Yeah, you know, taking away your brand.
But they also say, if you're a copycat, you're a wingnut as well.
Hey, Tim Taranto from the GWS Giants.
Quinton. Sorry, Q.
I'm not going to call
Q.
him that, MG.
I know, thanks, Q.
Pretend to be brave in front of athletes sometimes, but not Timmy. Tim, we appreciate your time. The round one loss to St Kilda, not the start you would have been after, but this weekend, an opportunity to get the season going with a bit of momentum against the Dockers this Sunday. Tim Taranto, thank you for your time.
No worries, boys. Thanks for having me.
Good luck to Tim and the rest of the Giants outfit this weekend when they take on the Dockers. Chat AFL, thanks to our friends at Bingley MG. Best brands,
nice
best kid. Advice, 1957. Yeah. But we got to go tomorrow, MG. We're going to go deep on the Roosters-Rabbitohs clash. We're not on air on Friday ahead of the game. So tomorrow we're going to take the opportunity to really dig into this, which should be a terrific game with two teams in red hot form.
Yeah, I'll designate my power rankings to it. I'll have the Book of Feuds greatest five, the best five players to play for both clubs over the last 50 years.
Now there is something to look forward to. All right, we're going to get out of here.
As always, thank you so much for your ears. He's Liam. I'm MG. Wherever you are, stay random.